still all worked up from that movie, so if you could just pray for me for a moment, I'll be able to focus and speak the words that the Lord wants me to speak, and I'll pray that you can open your hearts to his word. And let us ask for Our Lady's help. Hail Mary,
full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
A temptation that we might have, which the Lord remedies through our readings today, and the truth that he speaks us, is feeling like, especially after we see these kind of cosmic presentations of the darkness that threatens our world, and even the sense that was drawn out by that movie of 6 billion people have died and there's no one left and I'm the only one with the cure and I need to be like St. Dominic and start a worldwide movement that will last for the next 700 years, which will deliver that cure to... And then either we have an illusion of grandeur thinking, I can do it! Or we have a wilting flower phenomenon, oh, I can't do it. In either case, the Lord speaks a truth into that. He speaks, first of all, starting with our gospel, as a racist and a misogynist. No, Jesus is not a racist and a misogynist. But, you know, Jesus ministered to a very, very, very small number of people. The Son of God came to earth and he focused in obedience to the Father on a mission to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That was the mission. And it was through that obedient mission to the Father, ministering to a very small number of people, that the blood with the cure has spread all the way around the world and touched every human culture. He focused on his mission. Now there are periodically exceptions to the mission as we experience today. He saw a faith in that woman that he just couldn't hold himself back. She drew the power out of him, we might say, because her faith was so beautiful, even when he gently resisted. A little side note, he said nothing until he had the intercession of the apostles. When they said to him, now their intercession was not very impressive, was it? Get rid of her! Okay, so our intercession is that way sometimes. Get rid of her. And then that's when the Lord gives the blessing and the healing and speaks to the heart and he engages the woman. And he calls her a little puppy, by the way. That's actually that word. To the dogs is actually little puppies. Makes it softens a little, you know. The Gentiles were known as dogs. So he softened the cultural word used for them to make it little puppies. And then she still had courage to persevere. But the first point is, Jesus has a mission field for each one of us, which is not the entire world to start with. Even for the Son of God, it was not the entire world. You know, we wouldn't need the new evangelization if parents had evangelized their children. That was their mission field. And I'm not blaming parents, because there were a lot of things that happened, like CCD programs, which say to parents, you're not able to evangelize your children, give them to us. It doesn't stir confidence in hearts when we have that kind of attitude. Without going any farther down that minefield, the point being, evangelization starts with the ones that God wants us to evangelize. So that takes us then back into the first reading, which is really beautiful. If you ever want to enter into the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31 is your entryway. Start with chapter 31. It's amazing, one piece after the next. But what we just heard in the first reading today, the people who survived the sword feel that. Think of that movie. After he gets attacked and has that those jaws in his face, the people who survived the sword found grace in the 4-star hotel at the beach, relaxing. No, found grace in the desert. We go from the sword to the desert when Israel sought for rest. So the call, first of all, for us, as Christopher has said beautifully 1,700 times already, we have to learn to find rest in the desert. The desert is not the fulfillment of our desire. The desert is sitting in the ache. It's learning to stay there and to find rest in that place. At least we didn't get killed by the sword. In the desert, we have two consolations. We find rest in the memory of the future, which is called the promise. In hope, the virtue of hope, as Christopher said so beautifully earlier, hope gives us the strength to find rest in the desert. So we enter into that place. We should long for the salvation of the whole world. Jesus longed for the salvation of the whole world. He burned to set fire to the earth. But his mission field was the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Elijah found his mission as he sat in the desert and languished and even longed for death. We'll have those moments. But we need to learn to find rest in the desert. Because in the desert, he comes to us. To continue Jeremiah 31, when Israel sought rest, the people who survived the sword found grace in the desert when Israel sought for rest. The Lord appeared to him from afar. And sometimes it seems that way, like Christopher with his glasses, you know. We can't see. What is that out there? What is it? Or like Elijah with the cloud. I see a cloud. What do you see? He said to his servant, Gehazi. What do you see? I see a cloud the size of a fist way out there. When we've been in the desert so long, we have a hard time seeing. And just an image appears. The Lord appears from afar. And he says to us, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. What he says when he comes to us is not, where'd you come from? How long have you been here? Have you been suffering a bit? I forgot all about you. I was off doing something else. I have loved you. I have loved you with an everlasting love. When there was the sword in this place of the desert, as your hearts ached for more, as you were wounded, I have loved you, and I prepared the way for this encounter. I never forgot about you. I never stopped loving you. I have continued my faithfulness to you. I never became unfaithful. I never forgot about you. When we allow ourselves to sit in the ache, find rest in the desert, glimpse the Lord from afar and not run away, and learn to wait for him to come, the words we will hear every time, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have continued in my faithfulness to you. And just to put a little cherry on top, a little later in Jeremiah 31, it says, my heart yearns for him. The Lord has created a new thing on the earth. A woman protects a man. She waits with us in the desert, like Anna. in the movie, she waits with us, and a woman protects a man. And she helps us to see him, and she helps us to welcome him, and she helps us to open our ears like Samantha so that we can, or Samuel, so that we can hear God, or Samantha to know that God hears us. And she helps us to wait there with open hearts. Our salvation is at hand.